Hallelujah. You see, as I was praying, and the Holy Spirit just dropped it in my heart, I feel I should just emphasize it. Let me ask you a question. Is there any perfect man or perfect woman? Do you know any of any perfect man or perfect woman? Are you perfect?
No, any.
Let me try somebody else. Are you perfect?
No.
That's a self-made confession, yeah? Hallelujah. I mean, they are perfectionists in life. Yeah? I mean, without Christ, my natural personality is a perfectionist. But despite that, perfectionists are not perfect. And they may see the fault in every other person. They don't see their own fault. But you know what? There is a perfect man. Amen. And I can tell you that perfect man is not David Cameron. Of course you know that. Neither is it Barack Obama. Of course you know that. The perfect man is Jesus Christ. Amen? And so, if you had a life ambition, it is to be like Jesus. Amen? He is the perfect man. How can you settle for anything less? You know, some people's ambition in coming to church and following God is, let me just do the minimum. You see what I mean? Let me just do and find a way to just manage myself into heaven. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Heaven, nobody will enter into heaven by mistake. Now listen to what I'm saying again. Nobody can or will enter into heaven by mistake. Heaven belongs to those who want to be there. Are you hearing me? I said, heaven belongs to who? Those who want to be there. They so much want to be there that all their life, their focus is set where? On heaven. And that dictates how they live every moment. Amen. Right in this world, I tell you something, if you are going to heaven, right in this world, you will know that you are a citizen of heaven. Amen? Nobody enters into heaven by mistake. So, don't allow your life to be on that minimum level. Hallelujah. You want to what? Be like Jesus. He is the perfect man. And you are following him. Hallelujah. You are what? You are following Jesus. Can you say to yourself, say to yourself, say, I'm following Jesus. To be like Jesus. You see that? Hallelujah. If you can just wake up with that mindset and you can go to bed with that mindset, you are on the pathway to a victorious life. Hallelujah. You know the victorious life? Let me explain the victorious life to you. The victorious life is not only the life, you know, that has no financial worries, has no relationship worries, has no, you know, political worries or health worries. Yeah? Sometimes we make the mistake and we think that, oh, if all my problems are solved, then I'm victorious. No. The victorious life, yeah, is the life of God. You getting it? The life of God in you is the victorious life. You know what a victorious life means? It's a life that cannot be overcome. Hallelujah. Listen to that. A victorious life is what? The life that cannot be overcome. No matter what happens. Hello? No matter what happens. Let me deviate, as I usually do, for my message a little, and take you to Psalm 46. Go to Psalm 46. Let's talk about the victorious life before we move into true discipleship. Psalm 46. Yes, we would like to read Psalm 46. Let's just speak. Yes, let's read verse 1 to 5. Psalm chapter 46, verse 1 to 5. Who would like to read?
Okay, but Tim?
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early.
Amen. Hallelujah. That is the victorious life. Amen. The victorious life is the life where God dwells in the city. And no matter what happens, she shall not be moved. Hallelujah. Because that life cannot be overcome. Amen. Are you with me? He said God is our refuge and strength. He's always ready to help us in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear whether earthquake comes or mountains crumble, oceans roar and foam. Whatever happens, there is a river that brings joy. Hallelujah. That joy is greater than happiness. You want to make kids happy. What do you do to them? Imagine you have a 5-year-old. Yeah, somebody was about to say something. Yeah?
You bribe them.
Ow. Imagine it's summer day and the sun is shining bright. You have these kids at home. They are all in your head. And you want to make them happy. What can you do? What?
Ice cream.
It was a deal. I had price. That would have been a £5 answer. Yeah. As simple. You give them what?
Ice cream.
They are happy. Are you with me? Now, why am I saying that? Joy is different from happiness. Ice cream can make you happy. Yeah? But it will not satisfy your hunger. Yeah. Imagine you had ice cream for breakfast, lunch and dinner every day of your life. Are you with me? When good things happen in life, you're happy. Isn't it? When things don't go the way you want, you're sad. But there is a river of joy that is independent of whatever is going on in your life. And that flows from God. Hallelujah. And when God is in you, you have the victorious life in you. It cannot be overcome. Amen. The only time you don't experience it is when you don't recognize it or identify with it. The life is there, but you ignore it, so it cannot help you. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Jesus is everything you need. Amen. I will explain this. Let's go to our text for today. Let's go to Mark chapter 9. We're talking about true discipleship. And I'm trying to make you understand why it's important for you to make this decision to be a true disciple. Let not your ambition be just to sit on the fence of the church. Let not your ambition be just to peep through the window of the church. Let your ambition just be to warm the bench in the church. There is something greater, something higher that God has for you. And that plan was made before you were born. And the success of your life will be measured by how you fulfill that plan that God has for you. There's no other measure. No matter what you do in this life, no matter where you go, no matter what you achieve, no matter what you have, your life will be measured by the plan of God, which is already made before you were born. Hallelujah. Mark 9. Mark 8. Yes, was someone correcting me there? God bless you. That means you are paying attention. Mark chapter 8, verse 34-38. Mark 8, verse 34-38. So we'd like to read. Sister Lucky or Sister Lucky? You are both. You are both lucky and you are lucky in the name of Jesus Christ. Good things are coming your way in Jesus' name. Amen.
Then Jesus, calling a crowd to join disciples, he said, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from selfish ways. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. What do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message in this adulterous and sinfulness and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of the person when he returns in the glory of his Father with the holy angels."
Hallelujah. I love the word of God. It's the word of life. You see, the more I study the word of God and the more I get revelation from the word of God, I understand what the Bible says, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Because the word of God has the power to change your life. The word of God has the power to change your situation. It's every time God wanted to do something new, you know how he does something new? He sends his word. Check the Bible. Anytime God wants to do a new thing, what does he do? He will give his word. If God wants to do something new in your life, what does he do? He will give you his word. Now, if you take a step of faith based on that word, change will come. Hallelujah. Say to yourself, say, "My change will come." Hallelujah. Let me just show you something there. You read it, but let me show you. Verse 35. Look at verse 35. It says, can we read together? Read from your version. It doesn't matter. Let's read together. Let's go. "If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it." Amen. The old King James says, whoever tries to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, we save it. So the question I'd like to ask myself is this: what is your life? I know when you read that, the first thing you think about is, you know, just your breath. Yeah? Yeah? So, you know, imagine, you know, you are, what could you be doing? You know, you are crossing the road on the zebra crossing. Yeah? And then a car is approaching and it's not slowing down. A truck, big one. What do you do? I mean, we know that legally speaking, you have the right to remain on that zebra crossing, isn't it? Yeah? You can prove your right in court. You don't even need a lawyer. You are there and you're on the zebra crossing. It's even possible you had a smartphone and you were recording the whole situation. Or even take a selfie, yeah? With the truck approaching. But if you don't move, you will not live to tell the story. Are you with me? So there's a natural instinct in all of us to try to save our lives. Now, I know that when you read the Bible and you read like that, you may think about it that, yeah, I have to save my life. But you see, your life is more than the breath you breathe. Your life is everything that is of value. You see, there are people that are alive, but they feel they have no life. Am I right? They are alive, but they feel they have no life, and they would rather die. Why? That means that it's not just the breath. The breath is important. But your life, as you see it, includes many other things. Like what? Your health. Your well-being, your money, yeah, your money, your job, your family, your friends. What else have I not listed that is your life? I remember I was listening to one of the boys in a kids' church. I won't say which, so I won't embarrass the parent. He was just looking and saying, football is my life. So your football too is part of what? Your life. Anything you cherish is your life. Listen to that again. Your children. Sorry, I had to mention that, yeah? Because the average parent will not mess about with their children. They could sacrifice everything and anything. Are you with me? Your life is anything you cherish. Your dreams, your goals, your aspirations, they are all your life. Are you with me? Jesus said that if you are trying to save your life, you will lose it. Let me explain. What it simply means is this. You see, if you are going after all those things, yeah, they will take away the love of God from your heart. Now, remember, you will still love God with your mind. Say, Sister Toyin, do you love God?
Yes.
Wake her up from the sleep. Do you love God? Of course I do. I've been loving him for many years. And I will continue. You know, that's in your mind. Are you with me? That's in your mind. But in terms of what we produce action is what is in your heart. So you can say that you love God with your mind, tell everybody about it, but when you have to make decisions that either God or this, you will go for that thing you cherish. Are you with me? Because that's what you love. Are you understanding me? That's what it means. That if you love anything more than Jesus, if Jesus cannot take precedence over any other thing, whatever it is, then that thing will make you lose Jesus. And if you lost Jesus, you have lost it. Are you with me? Let me explain it a bit more so you understand. You see, as human beings, God has made us with free will. We have free will. Amen. And like I said last week, God is glorified that you have free will. He gave it to you. Yeah? But with free will comes a great responsibility. The moment you have choice, you have responsibility. Free will gives you the responsibility to choose between good and bad, between right and wrong. And that you will continue to do till you die. Are you with me? Yeah? Like I said last week, every time you use your free will to choose the will of God, that is worship. Amen? God is glorified. He's proud. He said, my son or my daughter has pleased me. Because you took your free will, you could have done it the other way, but because you love God, hallelujah, and because you trust God, hallelujah, you choose not to go the other way. But rather you choose to go the will of God. Not because it was convenient. Not because it was comfortable. But because it's right. Because what makes it right? It's not right because the society said it's right. Society is always changing in their opinion. Are you with me? The society, for example, in Britain today has changed much more than Britain 50 years ago. The values have changed, and I assure you, if the world was to continue in 50 years again, it will have changed. In fact, in some cases, values are reversed. Yeah? Just like fashion. Yeah? Some things that are gone out of fashion come back into fashion. Are you with me? But you do it because this is the will of God. This is what pleases God. Yeah? That is worship. Amen. Let me explain about saving your life to you. You see, God is not against many things that you cherish. God does not say, don't have a family. Don't have a, let me take you on a journey. Go to Luke. I want to show you something. Go to Luke, and I will come back to that point. Luke chapter 14. That was the second place we read. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. 25 to 27. Luke chapter 14, verse 25 to 27. Now, if you've not read today, yes, you can read. Luke 14, verse 25 to 27. Yes, let's have you reading. Anyone can. Don't be shy. Okay. Fernando? 25 to
27. Amen. Amen. Verse 25. A large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them. Oh, sorry. A large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, if you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison, your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple.
Not. Now let me explain to you. It's not as if Jesus is against your husband or wife or parents or children, your job, your money, your security, your happiness. No, never. What he's saying is this. If you seek those things first, the love of those things will kill the love of God. Are you with me? Hello? If what makes you think, ask yourself a question. I'm not gonna, I don't need an answer. Ask yourself, say, what gives you the greatest joy in life? When do you find yourself most happy? Okay, let's take some samples. What gives you the greatest happiness? What could happen to you now that you will be the happiest person in the world? I know there are many, isn't it? Are you with me? But if you ask yourself sincerely that, what is my greatest joy in this life? When I wake up, what makes me feel that I'm still okay? You know what I mean? It could be money in the bank, yeah? You check your account. It's okay. In this days of mobile banking, you may all fall into temptation, including yours truly, yeah? When you wake up, you just log in to your account. Okay, I'm okay. I'm fine. Everything's all right. Are you with me? Yeah? It could be your children. So my children is my life. I can give anything. Have you said it? I can give anything for my children. Yes, I know somebody in this church who says that. Hallelujah. And that's right. God is not against those things. God is not against your progress in life. He's not against your money. He's not against your children. He's not against your happiness. Whatever it is. But when the love of those things take precedence over the love of Jesus, they have become idols to you. You see, even my wife or your husband, you have to love them. But you are not to love them more than Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you with me? That's what it means to try to save your life. To save your life means you struggle and you scramble for those things because you believe they will give you happiness. But what you don't understand is that the happiness that God wants to give you is better and is greater. The pursuit of happiness can often lead you to lots of pain. pain and disappointment. When you pursue happiness just for its own sake. Are you with me? So for example, some people are alcoholics today because they were pursuing happiness. Now, I know you may not understand what I mean. When I say alcoholic, I mean someone who is addicted seriously to alcohol. Because they just want something that will make them feel what? Good and calm. Relax. Everybody say relax. Are you with me? And before they knew it, it overpowered them. Do you get me? That's what pursuit of happiness can do. Pursuit of happiness on its own can leave, put a lot of burdens on your life. Do you understand? Now let me show you something else in the Bible. I'm bringing it together, but I want to take you a different journey then pull it together. Amen. Now what I'm looking for is in Matthew. It says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Who can find that for me? Saronke. Say, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Yes? Please help me find that. Matthew chapter 11. Please, can you open your Bible to Matthew 11? Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, let's read from verse 28 to 30. Yes, we would like to read. Someone who's not read today. Matthew 11 from verse 28 to 30. Anyone can read? Yes. Let's have mommy. Matthew 11, 28 to 30.
Come unto me, all ye that are labored and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
You see, saving your life means pursuing all the things, all the other things you cherish. Are you with me? Now, the pursuit of those things will bring burdens and yokes on you. Yeah? That's the way it is. But what Jesus is saying is that what you're really looking for, you know what you need most in life as a human being? Do you know what you're looking for most in life as a human being? Have you thought about it? Let me ask questions. What do you think that the average human being wants most?
Money.
Money, yes. Some other answer. Let's find a wide range of answers. What does the average human being want most? Remember, the average human being. They're always going to be extremes, yeah? The average. Now, you feel that if you run a test, it's common to all human beings. What do they want most?
Love and attention.
Love and attention, okay. Yes, any other answers?
Joy.
Joy, yes. I when I find my answers, I will let you know, but I won't say it yet so that I can take all the pool. Joy, yes. Any other answer you want to try?
A family.
Family, yes, yes. Oh, thank you. Very brilliant answer. Yes, any other answer? The average human being, what do they want most? Above all others. Let's do that.
Food,
nice food, yeah. Can you imagine taking my wife to a nice restaurant, yeah?
Easy life.
I'm sure that your husband will fight you for that, yeah. Yes.
Don't work, but have needs met.
Okay, so yeah, I actually agreed, easy life. Okay, what any other answer? What does the average human being want most in life?
Peace.
I'll stop there. You know? All the answers are right, but I feel that many of the answers we've listed, they are just a means to an end. Why do you want money? Let me ask Gavin. Why do people want money? Just give us any answer.
Because
doesn't buy you happiness, but you can get things.
Yeah.
You can get
reduce your worries. You can even get a wife free. You can get many wives. All free. Yeah? Are you with me? The reason, you know, why we want all these other things like money and family and whatever, is that the average human being is looking for three things. Because those three things meet all their needs. The average human being is looking for love and joy and peace. Everything you are going for in life is a means to those ends. Your ultimate needs as a human being is love, joy, and peace. Do you disagree in any way? Think about it. Yeah? Do you think there's any other thing? If you had love, joy, and peace, you understand? No worries. All your needs met. You know, you have friends, you have family. You are happy inside and outside. Are you with me? So everything we pursue in life is because we are looking for love, joy, and peace. So are you with me? But the pursuit of happiness without God, we only put burden and yoke on your life. Are you with me? The pursuit of happiness without God will put upon you dissatisfaction. You will get what you are aiming for, but you will not be satisfied inside. Because what you are aiming for is not your deepest need. Are you understanding me? Hello? If you've never, you know, if you've ever been in a position where you're looking for a job, it will be like, oh, that's the greatest problem in the world. And then you find the job. So that problem is sorted, yeah? Then you start, after a while, you start complaining. Oh, you know, my boss did this, you know, this, that, that. There is nothing you will get. In fact, the other day I was reading on the news, you know, that on average, even in this country, many people that have won the lottery ruined their lives. You never read, you know? People went, you know, of recent, a couple won the lottery. Within less than a year, they divorced. The money split them. It's amazing. Yeah? You can't believe it, isn't it? I know if I give you the opportunity, say, I don't mind. Let me just win the lottery. I'll show you what I can do with it, isn't it? Are you with me? Because the pursuit of happiness without God will give you burdens and yoke and dissatisfaction. Because those things are not your greatest need. Your greatest need is love and joy and peace. And let me tell you something. The world can never give you a lasting love and joy and peace. If you are here, you are married, you are in a relationship, I want to understand that your spouse cannot give you lasting love. And if that's your expectation, yeah, you have a lot of frustration in your marriage. Because you'll be depending on them to give you love. Whereas instead of giving out the love that God has given you to give, you'll be blaming them for everything that went wrong. Yeah? But they are not perfect. And so are you not. The love you really need cannot come from your spouse. They can only try. See what I mean? They can only try. Because the deepest need of your heart, yeah? The meeting of that need does not lie in any human being. It lies in God, who is your source. Hallelujah. Say to yourself, say, God is my source. Please, I want you to get that. If God is your source, he's the only one that can meet your deepest need. Are you with me? And the earlier you understand that, the better. Hallelujah. Now, what God wants is this. When you put God in the right focus in your life, everything begins to find its rightful place and meaning. When God is in the right position, You can enjoy friends and family, but they can't pull you down. Because God is the rock, is your rock. Are you with me? When God is in the rightful place, you can enjoy money. But if God is in the rightful place, that money, you will not just enjoy it alone. You will use it to serve God. Are you with me? I think it's a terrible thing to earn money and not use it to serve God. It's terrible. It's very terrible. In heaven, you will find out that it's one of the worst things you can do in life. Labor hard, earn money, but don't use it to serve God. Yeah? It's one of the most terrible things you can do in your life. Believe me. It's like somebody who just wasted their life. Because whether you like it or not, the money will be spent. You see, all the rich men of yesterday, they died and left the money. Somebody has spent it. Some rich men are not as happy as you. And some poor men are not as happy as you too. Are you with me? So that was somebody praying. Say, God, don't give me riches or poverty. Just make me okay. Yeah, that's not my prayer. It's somebody's prayer. Okay. Are you with me? Let me tell you something. When God knows that you can handle true riches, he will put them in your hands. Because he knows that you will use those riches to move his kingdom forward. You see, there are some things that God will not give you, because if he gives you, they will take you away from him. Think about it. Let's say I have a good relationship with God, yeah? Then God gives me a blessing. Now that blessing now pulls me away from God. Does it make sense that God will give me that blessing in his love? No! Now, that doesn't mean that God hates that blessing. It just means that I'm not capable of handling the blessing. Are you with me? That is why he said, when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, what happens? All these other things that you are chasing, they'll be added. Do you know what it means? It means that when you prove yourself capable of handling the blessing will come to you. Hallelujah. Because there is, like I always preach and I'm preaching again, because every good and perfect gift come from above, from the Father of light. In him there is no shadow. There is nothing good in this world that God cannot provide for you. Are you with me? Nothing good. But why would God release something that will destroy your destiny? You see what I mean? But you see, those things that God will not give you because he knows they will destroy you. The devil can give you. You know how he gives you? Do you know how the devil gives people things? Let me explain to you. The Bible says that the devil is a thief. He comes not except to what? To kill, to steal, and to destroy. Everything the devil ever gave, he stole it. I'm telling you, that gospel. The devil owes nothing. Everything the devil gives you, he stole it from somebody else. What does that mean? If I get a stolen good and I give it to you, yeah? What will be your attitude regarding that good? Knowing that he's stolen. I mean, it's something you want. Let's assume that you've been praying and fasting and working out just to get a brand new laptop. And I just come to your house and I just give you a brand new laptop. I stole it, but I gave you. Yeah? And I told you, you know what? I stole this laptop, but I love you so much and you have satisfied me. Take. Enjoy it. So what will you do?
I'll take it, probably.
Yes, and what, when you are using it, what will be at the back of your mind?
That it was stolen and I didn't really work for it.
Yes. But what more? Come on, you're not, who else will help me? I need somebody very fast thinking. So you've taken it, you are using, you are enjoying it, but what's going on at the back of your mind? That's what I'm thinking of. Anybody, nobody is thinking of my frequency yet. While you are using it and enjoying it, and you really want it, you want to let go, but what is going on at the back of your mind?
No happiness.
Yeah, you're not fully happy, but that's not what I'm looking for. A smart person, very smart. You have a stolen good, you're enjoying it, whatever, but something is going on at the back of your mind.
Your conscience.
Your conscience is prickly, is picking you. Yes, that's right, in right direction, but that's not the end. I'm looking for, you know, think like a crook, okay?
It's stolen. It could be taken from you and you could end up in prison.
Thank you.
Hello, are you with me? Why are you enjoying that selling gold? Something, what's going on in the back of your mind? Like, this thing can be taken any moment. And in fact, not only that, I could be punished as an accomplice. Are you with me? Anything the devil gives is stolen. It cannot last forever. It can be taken away and you can be punished. Hallelujah. So, rather than putting God in his rightful place and letting God add to your life, if you keep seeking those things, they are like stolen goods. You know why they are stolen? Because God is not in his rightful place. The devil can operate more easily. Are you with me? Let me round up. We are talking about true discipleship. And what Jesus said, he said, if anybody is coming after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He said, whoever is trying to save his life, we lose it. But he who is ready to lose his life for my sake, we gain it. I'm going to open one more place, Exodus 20. But before I go there, I want to say something. I want to get a truth, a revelation now. You cannot be a true disciple of Jesus until you are satisfied in Jesus alone. You see, if you still view Jesus as a means to an end, yeah? So if I believe in Jesus, he will answer my prayers. If I believe in Jesus, he will, you know, forgive my sins. If I believe in Jesus, he will, you know, heal my body. He will solve my problems. You see, Jesus is a means. Are you understanding me? It's just like any other thing we did. So if I go to, where can I go? You know, if I make friends with this person, it will help me because he's very good in his profession. If you view Jesus as a means to an end, yeah? If you are still viewing Jesus as a means to an end, you cannot be his disciple. Jesus is not just a means to an end. Jesus is the end itself. Jesus is the life. Jesus is not the one that is just going to give you access to life. He is what? The life. Hallelujah. So that means that the greatest, the deepest depth of your life is to have a close fellowship with Jesus. Because Jesus himself is the life. Jesus himself is the light. Jesus himself is the love. Jesus himself is the joy. Jesus himself is the peace. Jesus said, in me, you have peace. In the world, you have what? Tribulation. He's the life. He's the end itself. And when Jesus becomes the end itself to you, yeah, you are ready to follow him. Because it was all you were looking for. Amen? Hallelujah? Are you still with me? Your love for Jesus must be greater than everything else and everyone else. That is discipleship. To be a disciple of Jesus means that my love for Jesus is greater than everything else and everyone else. And if for any reason there's a clash of interest between everything else or everyone else, I got to forsake them and follow Jesus. Now, Jesus is not saying I should forsake them. Until what? There's a clash. Are you with me? Let me just say one more thing and then we'll go to Exodus 20 and round up. What I want to say is this. Everything you want and you need in life is in Jesus. What I'm trying to say is that he can provide everything. Everything. List all those things you want. There is a place for it in God. But it has to flow through God. Amen. Seeking it outside of God is like stolen goods. Are you with me? Go to Exodus 20. We round up there. Exodus 20. To be a true disciple of Jesus is to love Jesus and cherish him and prioritize him above everything else and everyone else. Knowing that Jesus himself is the end itself. He is not a means to an end alone. He is the end. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. Are you with me? Are you still with me? That's why they say that no Jesus, no life. But if you know Jesus, you have known what? Life. Hallelujah. You see, your communion with Jesus, yeah, is your greatest treasure.
for all eternity. Hallelujah. And if you are not taking advantage of that fellowship, if you are not following Jesus closely, you are living well below God's best for your life. Those who will ever live life to the full are those who have eaten Jesus. You know, Jesus said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, yeah, you do not belong to me. You know what it means? Jesus said what? If you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. Have you read that before in your Bible? You know what it means? It means that you have taken the whole Jesus. You are following Jesus. 100%. Hallelujah. And I always say that this problem of discipleship is a problem of trust. If you trust that God has your best interest, and if you trust that God has good plans for your life, and if you trust that God can meet your needs, you will commit to Him 100%. See, every time you pull back and try to handle some things yourself, it's a problem of trust. You are thinking, oh, if I don't sell out this one, God will cheat me. Life will cheat me. You are not convinced that God has your best interest and that God is committed to your best interest. That's why you decide to go your own way. But if I'm trust that God has my best interest and committed to my best interest, I want to walk closely with Him and then depend on His guidance to undo life. Amen? Exodus 20, let's finish there. Exodus 20. You see, I always tell people, I said, the Bible is one from Genesis to Revelation. Are you understanding? The Word of God is the Bible. My Bible is what? The written Word of God. From where? From Genesis to Revelation. You know why I say that, Sister Gemi? Because God has never changed. Are you with me? God has never changed. From Adam to now, God is the same. He has not moved one inch. Hallelujah. No shaking. That's God. No shaking. Hallelujah. And so, you can never have a full picture of God until you embrace the whole Word of God. Look at Exodus 20. There's something you don't know about Exodus 20. Or you know, but you don't really know, which I would like to remind you. Look at verse 20. Verse 1 and 2. No, and 3. So read Exodus 21 to 3. We round up on that. Exodus 21 to 3.